Good morning, I'm Anthony Moreno. It's 6:45. The University of New Mexico reportedly ranks among the top schools in the country for vehicle thefts. The Albuquerque Journal reports UNM had 140 stolen vehicles or attempted vehicle thefts in 2016, the most recent year for compiled numbers. UNM officials say the number is likely to rise in the 2017 report expected this fall and that security is increasing. In the wake of the mass shooting at Santa Fe High School back in May, Texas lawmakers have considered a so-called red flag law. Such a law would allow local officials to take away a person's guns if a judge decides the gun owner presents a danger. Andrew Schneider tells us why some mental health advocates think this could reduce the state's dramatic rise in teen suicides.
At a recent hearing on red flag laws, Greg Hanch with the National Alliance on Mental Illness said federal data show Texas teens are reporting suicide attempts at nearly double the national average. Hanch said easy access to guns means those attempts are more likely to succeed.
What we know about access to firearms as it relates to suicides is that most people who attempt suicide do not die unless they use a gun.
Family members are often the first to notice when someone shows the warning signs of a suicide attempt. Under Texas law, Hanch said, they have limited power to restrict a loved one's access to guns, but a red flag law could change that. In Houston, I'm Andrew Schneider.
Recently, more than 100 horses were found dead, drowned in the thick mud surrounding a dried-up watering hole on the Navajo Nation. The images, some of the most alarming we've seen of the drought, have prompted many people both on and off the reservation to take action. Fronteras reporter Laura Morales has more.
Glenda Suingyama plucks quarters from a giant pickle jar and drops them into the water station to fill up a large plastic barrel. About 40% of the Navajo Nation has to haul their drinking water. But this water isn't for humans. It's for wild horses who recently have come to depend on it.
When we took one load, then by the time we get back over there, it was already all gone. And then we get another load of water, and then we go back again. And then it'll be gone. I was like, oh my gosh, we can't keep up with these horses.
2 weeks ago, Suingyama and her friend Paul Lincoln woke up to a group of horses outside their trailer.
When we first saw them, their heads were down and
walking really slow.
They were just kind of like zombie horses. And that's when we saw these ones drop in front of us, and then we said, that's it. That's what we're going to start with, the buckets of water.
Now, thanks to donations, including food and water, from people all over Arizona, they're able to leave alfalfa and fill several water tanks. About a dozen people are taking care of some 200 horses. Lincoln drives his truck over dirt roads to the first stop, a clearing protected by boulders and dry scrub brush in the high northern Arizona desert. We come around a bend, and there they are. A couple dozen horses that appear more spirited today, like the powerful symbols of freedom they've come to be known. But Lincoln notices a new one, a skinny, speckled gray stallion whose ribs you could count.
Hey, where you guys going? Come get some water!
Usually, they'd run from any sign of humans, but not today. Not when they haven't seen rain in months. Navajo officials say this year has been the driest in a 15-year drought. Navajo Natural Resources Director Bitta Becker says 2 years ago the tribe flew over the reservation to get an accurate count of the animals and found at least 30,000 free-ranging horses on an area the size of West Virginia.
Horses compete with the livestock that Navajo people raise on the range.
One horse eats 32 pounds of forage and 10 gallons of water per day. Becker has asked the tribal council for $1 million to support a plan that would partner with outside groups to round up horses and adopt them out, as well as administer contraception. But Becker says that requires yearly inoculations and staff or volunteers who can wrangle horses.
Community support, getting the community, not just on the Navajo Nation, but surrounding the Navajo Nation, to work together to address the number of feral or free-ranging horses on the nation is critical.
Many Navajos are concerned the horses will be taken to slaughterhouses, a method that was supported by the previous administration. Becker says that is not part of the current plan because Navajo believe horses to be sacred. That's why Paul Lincoln feels so strongly about saving them.
I mean, they've been around longer than we have, so they're sacred. We know a lot of our traditions, we're barely holding on to them.
And he says he feels like the horses have come to him, asking for his help, and he's able to give it. I'm Laurel Morales, reporting from Gray Mountain.